The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. Today, my guest is Braha Kopstick. She is a registered dietitian specializing in adolescent nutrition, practicing with a non-diet approach. She helps parents feel calm and confident about raising tweens and teens to have a positive relationship with food and their bodies. Through supportive and collaborative virtual counseling, Braha educates parents to raise adolescents with a good relationship with food, free of shame and guilt. All right, welcome and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Very glad to be here.
Yeah, so I found you on Instagram. And I'm so glad I did, because I appreciate the videos and the stories that you post. And I also the story that you shared on your website about your journey with food. Would you mind sharing that story with our listeners?
Yeah, for sure. So it's essentially my experience growing up was pretty normal. You know, my parents, my family had access to a lot of food, and they provided us with a variety of healthy and what we call not so healthy food. And we had pretty regular access to all of that. And then as I went through puberty and started gaining weight, there was a lot of outside noise from family and friends, from encouraging dieting all the time. But I was really fortunate enough that my parents did not encourage me to go on a diet, and they did allow me to have that same access to the food that I had had previous to my weight gain. And I think that was really beneficial in helping me to develop that really good relationship with food, and also to stay positive and or neutral rather to feeling about my own body. So I never really developed that negative association with my weight gain, and that was reflected in how I was able to feel around all types of foods.
That is good, because that is an area where I failed. If I could have a parenting do-over, I would definitely do over.
And I hear that a lot. I mean, it's a scary time, and we see kids starting to gain weight when they haven't had it previously. It's frightening, especially when we hear about this whole crisis about childhood weight gain. So it's so natural to have that fear and doing something about it.
I had problems with myself and gaining weight. I was in the military for a long time, and I ran a lot because that's what you do in the service. And that kind of kept my weight down, the running. And but then I noticed if I did run, I would gain weight. And it actually started for me, though, in my teen years, with my own weight gain and just kind of having a negative body image and thinking I was supposed to look like someone on TV. And so then it just continued to perpetuate itself, where I was a yo-yo dieter. And then I thought, okay, maybe not the yo-yo dieting, but then I would control it through my exercise. Yeah. And so, so I kind of went through those things myself. And although I really tried not to overtly push that on my own kids, I think subconsciously some of it seeped out. And, you know, we would do things like, I saw something that you put on your Instagram that said, like, they don't need a cleanse. I remember we went on a cleanse. We went like after the holidays, and I was like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have done that. Because, you know, in the holiday time, you know how you eat so much sugar and carbs and all that good stuff that, you know, that you like to eat, gingerbread, all this. So anyway. So how can we, if we kind of struggle with that ourselves as mamas, how can we help our kids have a healthier outlook?
So I think there's a number of things that we can do. First of all, is to remove that judgment around eating. So removing the way that we talk about food, talking about food as good or bad or junk or whatever words we use around describing food. We want to remove that judgment, that moral, like making food into a moral issue, because it's really not, morality is not eating. So trying to remove that judgment, because when we eat something that makes, you know, if we're calling a food bad, then we're going to feel bad if we eat it. So if we can remove that judgment, we're not going to feel that associated problematic feelings after the fact. And then secondly is to, I believe, to normalize eating. Physical hunger, emotional hunger, like there are reasons to eat that are necessary. I mean, it's for biological reasons we need to eat. But then also that connectivity and that celebration. Food is something that is part of our lives, and we need to normalize that. And I think even a third thing might be to try to have family meals to whatever extent that's possible in your family. There's been a lot of research about the benefits around eating together as a family. And one of those is to decrease the risk of developing problematic eating behaviors. So even if, say, you're not quite, you know, as the mom, you're not quite ready to have those positive messages, or you're still struggling, sitting down together and eating really normalizes that food is part of our life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, I like the way you said that the connectivity and celebration that meals can be. And that, as you and I have mentioned, that in the Old Testament, there's a lot of feasts. Like God wants us to celebrate and have that connectivity and remember things that he has done for us, you know, through that, and how he has provided for us. And that's one of the ways that he does that.
100%. Food is so much more than just its calories or its nutrition. And I think we need to normalize that and remember that and teach that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I need to do then is really start to enjoy cooking more. I'm not one of the people who really enjoy cooking. It's more of a chore for me.
Yeah.
And so
I hear that a lot. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a family meal doesn't have to be home cooked meal. Like I am such a proponent of doing fast hacks, freezer meals or takeouts. Like takeout food can be a family meal, and it also lessens that stress around creating that family meal time. So if you're not a cooker, that doesn't have to be a blockage to family meal times.
Although when I cook, what helps motivate me is I watch other cooking shows while I'm cooking. And one of the things I noticed, because I watch a lot of family competition cook meals, and that kind of has motivated me to kind of get my kids in the kitchen, because that is a bonding experience for them. And one family in particular, they said they just blast the music and they dance around in the kitchen. And I thought that's actually, that for me would be helpful, since I don't, it's not a preference, you know, it would be something that would bring fun into it. And then I can teach my kids, it's not just a chore, that it can be fun. So
That's fantastic, because if you can make that whole experience around food a positive one, that also can be really helpful in that positive dynamic.
I also wanted to know, what do you think about teen girls who hop from diet to diet? So I know it's around a certain age. I used to teach a Sunday school class, and I had like sixth grade girls. So usually around middle school is when they kind of wanted to start experimenting or identifying with a group who ate a particular way. So like a vegan or keto or paleo, because I knew a young lady, she went through all three of those phases. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about when girls do that?
Well, I think there is a lot of that. This time period is one of shifting identities. And like you say, that they shifted from group to group. And I think that, like we've been talking about how food is connective. And I think that all of it kind of speaks together, how they're trying to figure out who they are, who their friends are, and food is one way of doing that. Yeah, and at the same time, I think it's also, especially when it's really young, a lot of kids don't actually know what it means to be following these food restrictions. So it gets hard. So they're going to change from one to the other when they're not able to follow whatever rules they've put into them, like whatever rules they're following. So if, you know, if vegan is too hard, maybe I'll go vegetarian. Maybe I'll just cut out some fish, or, you know, they kind of don't know what it means necessarily as well.
Well, you know, when you just said that about the rules, that kind of clicked for me. So let's talk about that for a minute, about the rules around eating, how that can, part of it can be positive, but it can also be detrimental in learning how to eat for your body.
Yeah. I am not a fan of rule-based eating. I think it takes away from our intuitive knowledge of what our body needs, which we are, generally speaking, born with. And when we follow rules, that really dulls the reaction that our body has. So if we, say, for example, have a rule that you're not eating after a certain time of night, what happens if you're hungry after that? You're ignoring your body's cues of hunger, that you are in need of nourishment because you have this rule that you're not allowed to eat anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. I like that. You know, my son, he's been a grazer his whole life. And when he was little, he grazed. He didn't eat big meals. He would eat a little bit, and then a couple hours later, he'd come back and say, "I'm hungry." And so he'd eat a little bit more and come back a couple hours, "I'm hungry." And so I had to learn that, okay, he's not going to eat. First of all, he's not going to eat everything on his plate because he wasn't a big mm-hmm. meal eater. Or I had to give him smaller portions and save some back, knowing he's going to come back and wants to eat again. And he's still that way. He will come back. We will eat dinner. And now, though, he's 17, so he eats a lot more. But then he's still mm-hmm. hungry after. So after dinner, he'll come back 2 hours later and he'll say, "I'm hungry." Yeah. So we have to feed him again. Yeah, so that is true about the intuitive. He's always been an intuitive eater. And it's funny because he is the slimmest person in the house. So his intuition, you know, that helps him. I'm not going to eat this big meal, but I know I'm going to come back in a couple of hours and eat some more. And then a couple of hours and eat some more. And then he's done. So that is very interesting to listen to the intuition. I like that. How can we as moms, how can we be models in taking care of our bodies so that our kids won't have issues around food and eating?
Like I've been saying a lot, it's to eat. Show your kids that you are eating real satisfying food, that you are honoring your body, and that it's not just something that you throw together a snack bar or a diet drink or whatever the case is, but that you actually are showing that self-care and that honoring of yourself as a person. Mm. With a respectful meal mm. and that you're taking that time to do that. There's so much mom guilt and feeling that you're not worthy of all the same things that we give to our kids, but you don't teach your kids how to respect themselves if you're not showing it yourself to yourself.
Mm, that's good. I also love the helpful hints that you share on your Instagram account at Adolescent Nutrition. That is Braha's handle. And I will put that in the show notes. And you put things like having cravings around your menstrual cycle is normal. I really like that too, because this is the truth. Yeah. Well, do you mind sharing a few other of those truths with us?
Yeah, so one that I've been talking about all day today is that hunger is a sign that you need to eat. Another one that I think is really necessary for parents to know is that teens are gaining weight. It's part of getting to their adult size from a child to an adult. So kids need to gain weight. It's just part of life, and it's not something to fear or to address even. And a third message, that beyond even teenagehood, the bodies change over time. So even if somebody's weight is going to be stable from, I don't know, college till whenever, the body changes in size and shape. And that's also part of nature. We're not supposed to look the same way we have looked our entire lives.
One of the stories that you did, I thought was so good. And it was about the shame, like things that you should not say to your children or your child. And one of them was, are you having another one of those? I really like that, because then it makes them conscientious. That's the word I'm looking for. It makes them conscientious about what they eat and what they eat around you. And I find that when you feel shame around food, you start to sneak it.
100%.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing you want to avoid. Like, I would rather to know what she's eating or what he's eating than him feel like he has to sneak it and not be able to show me, you know, that he's hungry or he wants something to eat or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. And when there's shame around food, that just translates into shame around their body, and, you know, that making up the way they're eating, it just spirals into so many disordered thoughts and behaviors that could be prevented by having that open discussion around food or that open acceptance of what your child is eating.
I thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't you tell us how to keep in touch with you? I know I found you on Instagram. So why don't you share your handle and your website?
Yeah, so I am mostly on Instagram at adolescent.nutritionist. And my website is BK Nutrition. That's BEEKAY nutrition.com. And I have fairly regular blogs there. And there's a free download, and you can join my twice monthly newsletter.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I will add both of those to the show notes.
Perfect.
Well, yeah. Well, I wanted to thank you again for taking the time to guide us and help us help our kids and ourselves on how to have a healthy relationship with food and our bodies. And I like the way you said to display that self-care and to honor ourselves and our bodies. So thank you so much, Brahiop. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here. And I hope this was helpful for everyone.
Me too. All right. Well, remember, God is for you and you are not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.